So we're engaging in a sermon series as we approach what some call Easter. I prefer resurrection. Resurrection focuses on what Jesus did for us. Lessons from the resurrection. That's what we're talking about over the next few weeks. Lessons from the resurrection. Make no mistake about it. The resurrection story, it's a historical record of all that Jesus did for us. Don't lose the focus on that. That story should never get old. I think every morning you wake up, your eyes fly open and you can breathe and you know that you're in the land of the living. After thanking God for the gift of another day, I don't know about you, I thank him for saving me. That my mind always goes to the resurrection, that he hung, bled, and died. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. But it was not for nothing. It was to save us. And so I'm always excited about this historical, this true story of what Jesus did for you and for me. But the question I raise this morning, what can we learn from this crucifixion story, this resurrection story of Jesus? How can these many wonderful biblical passages that we see in the Gospels and everything that surrounds them in these Gospels that speak of his crucifixion, his resurrection, how can they help us on a daily basis? What can we learn? What can we pull from the text? So over the next few weeks, we're going to uncover, y'all, we're going to unpack some important lessons that can help us live out this life of freedom that we now live because of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. So please turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. If you are able to stand in honor of God's word, I ask that you please stand. Amen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it says this. By this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. So today's message is titled, When Life Breaks You. When life breaks you, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When life breaks you. I'm holding in my hand, as you can see, it's a plate. A close observation, when you see the plate, you can see that the plate has a crack in it. It has a break. I don't know about y'all, but handling plates, handling china and dishes around the house, the times when one will slip from your hand and it will fall and it will break. That something that can be so beautiful and so wonderful can have brokenness and cracks. Kind of reminds me of our lives. That life has a way, y'all, of breaking us. The unexpected diagnosis. How can I have cancer? I'm healthy, I try to eat right, and I live right. But you hear the big C word and you're broken. What about the betrayal that you never saw coming? That you pledged your love to him or he to her, and for whatever reason, there was betrayal in the relationship and you were broken in that moment and in that season. What about the loss that you were unprepared for? Maybe for someone in the house, it was a child. And we think a child should never leave here before a parent. It was unexpected and it hurt. You were broken. You were cracked. What about the dream that died on the cross of disappointment? It was the late Ernest Hemingway, the author and short story writer, that says, "Life breaks us all, but in the end, we are stronger in the broken places." I wonder sometimes, Because we can come to church, y'all, we can look real good on the outside, but on the inside, we are broken. Yeah. We are cracked and we are fractured.
Yes.
Is it true? What broken places in your life have left you in need of strength to be rebuilt or to be reinforced? Because your confidence has been cracked, your faith has been fractured, and your hope has been shattered. Oh, but there's good news for all of us today. If you feel broken in this moment, if you've ever been broken, there's good news for you and me. When life breaks you, you can still trust God. You can still finish strong, and you can shake the ground around you. I think that was the text shows us today. So here in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, we stand at Calvary. Jesus is bruised, he's bleeding, he's been mocked, he's been misunderstood, he's been crucified. And all around Jesus, we see brokenness. We see this crowd that they watch him hanging on the cross, and it says they are filled with sorrow. It really means that they were beating their chest, that they were so sorry that their Messiah, this king, that he was hanging on the cross. We see his followers, these women and these other followers that they're watching from a distance. They're watching, but they are broken. Luke presents the crucifixion not merely as an execution, but it's a cosmic disruption. Look at the text. That it's the middle of the day. It's 3 o'clock, but it's dark outside. And darkness, it represents judgment and divine sorrow. That there's a tearing of the temple curtain, which restores access to us and God. And then Jesus' final words, Father, I entrust my spirit to you. That's hanging on to truth in the midst of suffering. If anybody knew anything about brokenness, surely it was Jesus. And yet while still hanging on the cross, y'all, he shows us how to respond when we are broken, when we are in those broken places.
Yeah.
And so the first thing that I want us to see in the text today that we can glean from this text is simply this. When life breaks you, trust God in the dark.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? When life breaks you, trust God in the dark places, verses 44 through 45. By this time, it was about noon. And darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down in the middle. It was noon, but it looked like midnight. I wonder how many people's life look like that, right? Your life looks like that right now. That even in the noonday, even in the sunshine, that it's dark in your life right now. Darkness symbolizes confusion and judgment and grief and spiritual warfare. Maybe there's someone here right now and you feel like everything is dark around you. That Jesus is on the cross and the sky turns black, y'all. But darkness did not stop the plan of God from actually. Darkness was a part of his plan. That it was God that caused the darkness to even happen. What happens when God allows you to walk in the darkness? Is there anybody in the house where you've had some dark seasons of your life? When you could not see, you were uncertain, you did not know if you would make it or not, but God brought you through. That darkness did not stop you. Just because it's dark doesn't mean that God has disappeared, that God is absent. We have these periods in the Bible between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament we call Matthew, that there's this 400-year period when there was no prophetic word that came from the prophets of old. And they call those the 400 years of silence, as if God was absent. Listen, God may be silent in your life, but God is never absent. God is always there. God is always at work. God is always active. God is always moving and acting on your behalf and my behalf. Listen, darkness is not a final verdict in your life. It's just a season. It's something you're going through. And God will bring you out of the darkness and into the light. I think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, that they were thrown in jail. They on some trumped up charges. Y'all, you know the story in Acts chapter 16 where this girl is preaching, and you know, and she's demon possessed, and she has some owners, some masters, and so they made their money off of her. Paul cast a demon out the girl, and they were upset and mad. They eventually find themselves incarcerated. They're in jail, y'all, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says it was midnight. That Paul and Silas begin to sing, y'all. It was midnight and they had a praise party, y'all. It was midnight, y'all, and they were shouting to God and blessing God, y'all. That's what it ought to look like. When life breaks you, trust God. When life breaks you, can you praise? When life breaks you, can you worship God? Can you worship God in dark places in your life? When life breaks you, trust God in the dark. Notice also, y'all, that the veil, the curtain was torn. While Jesus was dying, something was happening in the temple. God was still active. God was at work. There was a tear of the curtain from the top to the bottom, which symbolized it, that it was God at work, not from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
And it gave the separation between us and God was now over. We could go into God's presence. God did the tearing. When life breaks you, God may be removing some barriers. I need y'all to hear that. The curtain was the barrier between God and the people. He opened the way for us to come to God, Jews and Gentiles, blacks and whites, and everybody, that we could come to God. That God gave access, doing something behind the scenes. What looked like defeat on the outside was really divine access on the inside. That sometimes when God is doing the breaking, that he's opening doors, that he's making a way. That God has to allow some things to break in your life, to open your eyes, to see him, to make a way for you and make a way for me. When life breaks you, trust God in the dark. When life breaks you, trust God in the dark. Also, the nation in this very moment, y'all, we still are mourning, crying, and praying for Savannah Guthrie. We see her face on the television just about every day. Some of y'all know her, the co-anchor of NBC News Morning Show. That we've heard many times that her 84-year-old mother had been kidnapped. I know some of y'all saying, listen, people are missing every day, but can you imagine for a minute if it were your mother?
Yeah.
If it were your child?
Yeah.
Somebody say, if it were your spouse? Somebody said, well, keep them. No. So we wouldn't say that. But this has been since February the 1st. Can you imagine the darkness that she and her family are going through? That she doesn't know where her mama is. That nobody will come forward and say, here's your mother. They got a ransom, $1.2 million, $4 million they're offering for anybody that has the information. But one thing I like about it, I don't know the totality of her faith, but she seems to be a real woman of faith. Because whenever she's on television, she's asking people to pray. She's thanking people for praying for her family, and say, pray for us. That's faith. And I believe this is what trusting God in the dark places, it really looks like. That you can pray in dark places. You can still worship God in the dark places, in the broken places of your life. Can you worship God in the broken places of your life?
Yes, yes, yes.
When life breaks you, trust God in the dark. But not only that, when life breaks you, finish strong anyway. Verse 46. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. When life breaks, you finish strong anyway. Notice that Jesus doesn't whisper, that he shouts. He was broken, but he was not defeated. He was bleeding, but he still believed. He still trusted God. He still called him Father. He had been betrayed by people. Accusations had come against him, false accusations, y'all, abandonment and agony. But he still called God Father.
That's right.
Abba, Father. I want to say this to you, to keep calling him.
Yeah.
Keep calling on God.
Yeah.
Keep your faith vocabulary strong. In the dark places, y'all, in the hurting places, in the pain, keep your faith vocabulary strong. Keep your relationship language strong. Keep calling him Father. Keep calling him Lord. Keep calling him Master. Keep calling him God. Keep calling him Deliverer. Keep calling him Peace. Keep calling him Joy. Keep calling on the name of God. Keep calling on the name of Jesus. Sometimes in our darkest moment, we stop calling him. As if he cannot come through, and he will come through. When life breaks you, finish strong anyway. And I'm not simply talking about the end of your life, But we go through these seasons and these changes, and do we come through victorious in these seasons and these changes of life? Do we come through so victorious that I went through that situation, I went through that season, but all the while I was trusting God. And God finally brought me through it, and I finished strong because I kept calling on his name. I kept trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
I think about Job, and we know the story of Job, that Job was the suffering servant of God, that he is the poster child as a suffering servant of God, yeah. That he lost his family, he lost his livestock, he lost his servants, he lost everything. A man that had much wealth, but he lost everything. But I love what Job says in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. He says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can you say that? No matter what you're going through, that I'm still going to trust him. I don't care what it looks like, I'm still going to trust God, and I'm going to finish strong. And I finish strong because I keep on trusting in the Lord. When life breaks you, finish strong anyway. Jesus finished with surrender and not bitterness. He didn't say, Father, why did you fail me? Lord, why weren't you there when I needed you? God, I'm done with you. That it's not working out the way I wanted to work out. I'm still in this dark place. I'm broken, and I needed you, and you weren't there. He didn't say that. He said, I entrust my spirit to you. That's an important word. The word entrust really means to deposit for safekeeping. We have bank accounts, don't we? And we deposited money into our bank accounts. We entrusted to financial institutions for safekeeping. So when there is a need, y'all, you can take that piece of plastic and you can cling it, and it's done. That it's there for safekeeping. You entrust the financial institution for safekeeping. Jesus deposited his life into the hands of God. If there's no better place to put your life. Can you entrust? Have you entrusted God with your whole life? Don't fool me now. Have you entrusted yourself? Have you entrusted your whole life to God? Jesus deposited his whole life into the hands of God. Here's the truth. You can't control how life treats you, but you can control how you finish. You can't control how life treats you, but you control how you finish. You can control what you do in the process and how you handle whatever you're going through. That we can finish trusting, praying, worshiping, serving, surrendering, and believing in God. Don't let what broke you define you in the end. That God will bring you through when life breaks you, you can still finish strong. Yeah, but ever gone through something in your life, y'all? Man, you went through it and you went through it, and God finally brought you out. But if you really told the truth and you look back, you were whining and complaining the whole time. It was just his goodness and his mercy that brought you out of it. That we want to be the kind of people that no matter what we go through, we can finish that season strong. Lost a job, God's gonna give you another. You ain't gonna whine and complain about it. Somebody walks out on you, you're not gonna whine. You're gonna trust God. God's gonna bring you out of the dark place. God's gonna bring you out of the brokenness. You can continue to trust God. I think about the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel, who brought the gospel to the Gentiles throughout the world at the time. Because of the preaching of Paul, that we stand here today and churches stand here today because he promoted and preached the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But he was incarcerated, and finally Paul would die. He would be martyred for the faith. But in the end of it, so Paul says, "What I fought a good fight." Is that what he said? He finished his race. He ran his course. Paul, I'm done with it. But I've kept the faith. I've stayed strong. I haven't given up, y'all. And we have to be the same way, y'all, that no matter what I'm going through, no matter, I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to keep on serving God. When life breaks, you finish strong, y'all. When you come out of whatever, when life be life and come out strong. Yeah, I made it through, and I made it through trusting God.
Yes, yes, yes.
This centurion servant, y'all, I'll be done in verses 47 through 49. I end with these final words. When life breaks you, your faith can shake others. This centurion servant, when the Roman official, again, centurion servant, overseeing the execution, saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in sorrow. But But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watching. They're standing at a they're watching, and they're tearful and they're fearful, and there's this crowd that they're broken because he's supposed to be the Messiah. It's not supposed to go this way, so they're broken. But this centurion, y'all, he gets my attention. That he's probably seen a whole bunch of crucifixions, y'all. It wasn't new to him, but he had never seen one like this. He'd never seen a man die the way Jesus died. No cursing, no swearing, no revenge, no panic, but just trusting God. Yeah. And it moved him. It shook him. Y'all, the ground shook when Jesus died on that day. But this centurion, he was shaken too. He was shaken into faith in Jesus. Broken while still believing is a witness. Broken while still believing is one of our greatest testimonies. Listen, when we're going through, know your coworkers, they're watching you. If you say you name the name of Jesus, they're watching you. They're watching to see how you handle it, how you deal with your situation. Are you cussing and fussing and mad and angry and want to get revenge? Or are you trusting God? They're watching you. You were supposed to get the promotion, but you didn't. Did you come in the next day with your head hung down? Oh, I didn't get it. Or was your head hung high? I'm still trusting God. But your children are watching you. That when you go through your broken places, it's a witness and a testimony of what you really believe about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
When disappointment creeps in, no, your children are watching you. How do you handle it? How do you handle the painful places in your life when you're really going through?
Yeah.
Your children are, and even in the church, y'all, church folk are watching you. People in the world are watching you. How you handle pressure, how you handle pain, how you go through. When life breaks you, your faith can shake others though. Let your faith shake other people. Look what Jesus did. It shook this centurion, this Roman officer. Jesus handled his pain the right way.
Yeah.
How do you handle your pain?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For real though.
Yeah.
How do you handle your suffering? Your breaking can become someone else's believing point, their healing point.
Yes, sir.
The ground shook. The temple veil tore. The centurion worshiped. All the while, Jesus was dying. Sometimes your most powerful sermon is preached from a cross. Sometimes your most powerful sermon is preached from a painful place,
yeah.
From a dark place,
yeah.
a place of uncertainty. And how you handle that place, it matters. It matters much in terms of how other people are looking at you and they're looking at me. When you worship in the dark, when you trust through tears, when you surrender while bleeding, it shakes somebody else. I shared with the congregation this morning. I think about when Deacon Don Hyatt, when he passed away. In his final days, y'all, he was in the hospital. His body was badly worn and broken. I remember one day going into the hospital room and he had some contraptions I'd never seen before, little tubes and bottles everywhere that was really operating as his heart. But I never saw a man so cheerful, so happy, so much of giving praise to God that his wife was in the room and he said, "Come here, baby, give me some sugar." And she came and gave him a kiss. That I was in the room, and there was the previous pastor, he was in the room, and he brought us together, he prayed for us. That the nurses and the attendants and the doctors, y'all, he's lying on his deathbed, he's praying for other folk, y'all. That he's still giving God praise. That's the way I want to go out. His face shook me, it shook me. When I go, I want to go out like that, y'all. I don't know about y'all, I want to go out strong, y'all. Let my faith shake other people in the room. Shake the nurses and the doctors as I give praise to God. That I want my faith to be the shaking ground for other people that don't know Jesus. Say, look at this guy. How is he praising God in this dark place? How is he praising God in this pain? But that's the kind of people God wants us to be. So, if life has broken you, trust God in the dark. Finish strong. Remember that somebody's always watching you. And know that you're breaking. It's not a burial. It's not over. That God still has use for you and me. Even with our cracks. Even with our broken places that he wants to heal, God still has use for you and me. So you may be here today and you feel like you're all cracked up. You're frustrated and you are in despair. You are discouraged. God still has use for you. And God wants to come into those cracks and those broken places, and God wants to heal you and me. That you never know. It may be the doorway to your breakthrough. God will allow the breaking to give you a breakthrough and to give you and me a blessing. So go through the dark places. Go through the broken places with your head hung high. You may feel abandoned, but you can still worship God. You may have been rejected, but you can still rise again. You may be going through persecution, but you can still praise God. You may still be going through whatever, but you can still lift up your hands. That you can still witness and you can still worship. You can still say God is able and God is good. You can keep on trusting God in the dark places and the broken places in your life. How you know? Because I've been there before. You can trust God in the dark places. And so I want to invite you in this moment just to identify those personal fractures that you've had in your life. And you might have right now. Because we can come into the house of God and we can look real good and be broken. That hearts can be shattered. Yeah. That lives can be a wreck. That your life can look like an old broken plate. It looks bad. And you're broken and you're in a dark place. But God wants to come into that dark. He's in that dark place, Red. He's with you. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. That all of us don't come into the house with a halo on our head that we've been through some broken places and we feel like we're broken right now. But give your bitterness to God. Yeah. Give your pain to God. Yes. Give your hurt to God. Give your discouragement to God and watch what God will do in your life. Yeah. That God wants to heal you. God wants to heal your heart. God wants to heal the broken places. Yeah. God wants to make you whole. Yeah. Will you allow God to do that? That Jesus offers us this lesson from resurrection, that he was broken, but he got up from the grave 3 days later with all power in his hands. So we make this declaration today, y'all, as we close out. I want you all to make this declaration with me. I want you to repeat after me. When life breaks me, I will trust God in the dark. I will finish strong anyway. In my faith, will shake the ground around me. Because I want other people to see what God can do in and through me. That I may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but I know that God is with me. He promised he would never leave me nor forsake, and I can give God praise in the house today. Can we give God praise? Come on, y'all looking at me strange. Can we just give God praise? God, I've been broken, but God, you healed me. I've been in despair and disappointed, oh God, but you bought me out. And God, I bless your name and I thank you. In the broken place of God, you came in. You moved in my life. You moved on my behalf. And for that, I am grateful, oh God. God, you have been good. And we praise you and we thank you. Father, thank you so much for your word today. This lesson we learned in this resurrection story, Father. That Jesus, you hung, you bled, and you died. You were broken. They buried you, but you got up again. Help us to know this morning that brokenness does not necessarily mean that we're buried, that we cannot get back up again. Because it's in our brokenness that you come in, because your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted and those who have a contrite spirit. You operate best in our brokenness, oh God. You can elevate us in our broken places, oh God, when we look to you. So speak to a heart right now. Jesus, we're asking by the power of your spirit that you speak to a heart. To let somebody know that if being out of relationship with you is wrong, being in relationship with you, Jesus, is the right thing to do. And Father, your word said you so loved the world. That means you loved us, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus, in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. You did not bring your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so Holy Spirit, save to the utmost all who come to Jesus in this very moment. Do what only you can do as we preach your word, Lord God. Let your power reign in this place, in the hearts of your people, that people will be drawn to you. So again, we ask that you would save. Do what only you can do. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But Father, we believe that Jesus came to die for our sins. So we confess this Jesus with our mouths. We believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus shall be saved. So save, Holy Spirit, to the utmost all who will come in this moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are here today and you're without a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you into that relationship. It's not complicated at all. That every human being has fallen short of God's holiness and perfection. That the Bible says none of us are good, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's one sin, two sins, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that eternal life only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So if you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you. Our ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. If we'll follow them to room number one across the hallway, we'll gather some information and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're here today and you are in a saving relationship with Jesus, you know him as Lord and Savior of your life, but you're not in fellowship with a local church somewhere, a place where you can connect with other believers, fellowship with other believers and saints, pray, where you can come together as part of a church family. We invite you today. Hands are extended. Won't you come? Won't you come right now?
Faithful.
Yeah, if you know it, sing it.
I trust in God. Yeah. You're the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yeah. I trust you, Jesus. The only one that can save my soul. Fail. He'll never fail.
Would there be one? We take this moment seriously. Would there be one? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. All you have is right here, right now, today. Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.